Tim Considine is a professor at the University of Wyoming and director of the Center for Energy Economics and Public Policy. He's done research on petroleum markets and written about Powder River Basin coal. He helped organize a roundtable discussion about coal called Powder River Basin Coal: Domestic Challenges and International Opportunities, which took place this week in Gillette. He said the industry has been facing challenges like ongoing uncertainty in regulations, yet coal exports are at record levels. He told Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhorov that for him, there was more good than bad.
I actually came away thinking that the coal industry, and particularly the Powder River Basin coal industry, is in perhaps better shape than I had first thought going into the meeting. Because Powder River Basin coal producers are probably the lowest cost producers of coal on the planet. And if anyone can weather this storm, they can. And also, a lot of the regulations that have been proposed have been modified, especially in light of the costs and benefits and their technical feasibility. And in particular, I was also quite impressed with the sort of steady resolve that the coal industry is showing in opening up export markets for Wyoming coal. I had not realized that there are $100 million investments that are being made to expand port capacity on the West Coast. And when companies put that amount of capital at stake, they want to see it through.
You know, at the same time, in Washington and Oregon, yesterday they were having public hearings regarding the new terminals that are being proposed.
Right. And at least from
what I've read, there seems to be a lot of negative feedback. Well, what are some of the challenges that actually face increasing exports for a place like Wyoming?
Well, transport and access, and when you're dramatically ramping up the volume of coal that's being shipped out, local communities near the ports see increased rail traffic, noise, congestion, that sort of thing. But the design of the port facilities and the upgrading that's going on will seek to minimize a lot of those impacts.
And the university and the state and industry have all invested a lot of money in research to keep Wyoming coal viable through perhaps new incarnations like clean coal technologies.
Yeah.
Was that a bright spot as well during the presentations, or was it discussed much?
Yes, it was discussed. It's a key issue. If we're going to use coal long term, we have to do something about the greenhouse gas emissions. Everyone recognizes that. The problem is that there is no way to price carbon in the United States. There's no permit system like there was in SO2, and there's no carbon tax, so there's no market signal. And right now, carbon dioxide is used to enhance oil production in several regions in the United States, but the value of that carbon dioxide is just not sufficient to cover the costs of capturing it at power plants and transporting it to the field. So there's a gap there. And everyone recognizes that there's a gap. And that was perhaps one of the lowlights. In my summary comments, I said, well, everyone agrees that we have to price carbon, but there's no clear path to get there. And even the EPA is struggling with this issue. You know, I came away with we have to be very aware and careful of how regulations are designed to provide adequate market incentives to get companies and universities productively producing technologies that will capture carbon and clean up the environment.
Can you talk a little bit more about what came out of the roundtable rather than the presentations?
Yeah, the roundtable was chaired by Sean Andrikopoulos, who's an ultra petroleum visiting professor here at the university. Sean asked a great question, put everyone on the spot. where is PRB coal going to be in 5 years? The most pessimistic assessment was production would be just about where it is now. And the consensus was that production would grow in the next 5 years. And I think a lot of that is driven by expectations for export markets.
Mm-hmm.
The number one growth fuel in the world over the past 10 years has been coal. And it's expected that there will be another billion tons of new coal consumption in Asia over the next 10 years. That's a big number. And that's got to come from somewhere, and Wyoming would likely be a supplier of that.
What about domestically? There was a presentation about what the industry can expect from a second term with President Obama.
Yes.
What did the speakers come up with regarding that?
His assessment was what EPA proposed for greenhouse gas emission controls for power plants. His assessment was that rule would not stand. It would be defeated in court. We'll mm-hmm. see. I don't know what to make of it. The other, when we talk domestically, the big issue, you know, a lot of people will blame the regulations, and regulations play a role. But the real culprit in reduced coal use in the United States has been cheap natural gas. And there was a month, I think, earlier this spring, it was April 2012, where coal and gas generated an equal amount of power, and that hasn't happened ever before. So the real key question for the outlook for PRB coal producers and coal producers in the United States is, what is the price of natural gas going to be?